Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise, Father. Magnify your holy name and lift you, Father. Father, there is none like you, and I am so thankful that there is none like you, Father. And Father, I know some say that you found them, but you know what? You know exactly where we're at, and you've always known exactly where we're at. I'm so thankful that I found you. I give you praise and I give you glory, Father. I magnify you and I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I pray that you give me the words to speak, the wisdom to know what to say and what not to say. Father, I pray that you use me to be a blessing and to love each and every person here. And most importantly, Father, I pray that you receive the honor and the glory. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please go ahead and be seated. And here we go. You know, I'd mentioned before that we're going to talk about increase, okay? And I know immediately, as soon as you hear the word increase, what comes to mind? Money. Money. Finances. Right. That's right. And you know what? The area of finances is an area that we can all increase in. Or would like increase in. But you know, a couple of months ago, I woke up and I just had the word increase on my heart. And as I sat there and I started to meditate for a moment on the word increase, I started thinking about all of the areas that I would like to see increase. Yep, finances, okay. Health. You know, everybody would like to have an increase in health. Wisdom, that's a good area to have an increase in, right? So as I'm thinking about these and thinking about other things, and I'm thinking, but you know, finances, that would be great, Father. You know, if there was just this much more, or if I just had, you know, I'm so thankful right now that you've given me the house that I have. And I am so thankful for it. But, you know, if it was just a little bit bigger, or if it was just a little bit designed this way, and I like elbow room, and right now I'm in tract housing or a subdivision or a division or whatever it's called in Oklahoma. Back east we call it a subdivision. But when I was a kid growing up, we always had elbow room, you know. And I'd love to have all that acreage. I'm thinking at least 1,000 acres. Why 1,000 acres, Greg? That's a lot of grass to mow. Why fly airplanes? Why drive to an airport when you got 1,000 acres and you can have a runway on it and a hangar on it? Amen? Amen. Amen. That's a desire of my heart. And health. Hallelujah. I praise God every day that I have a strong and healthy body, a strong and healthy and clear mind. I got stable emotions. I'm so thankful that my body is coming in line with the Word of God, that it is going to function properly. It's going to function the way that He designed it and created it to function. Amen? Don't you love screensavers? You know, wisdom. I'd love to have all sorts of wisdom, because the Word says if we ask, it's going to come to us liberally. And you know, when situations are opposed to me, I you know, I'm a Marine. I 21 years in the Marine Corps. Situation happens, boom, let's make a decision and move on. I you know, sometimes I don't like to sit there and, oh, let me think. Let me think about that. You know, sometimes you have time to do that, but in certain situations, you got to make a decision, you got to move on. And I want that wisdom to come instantly so I don't have to sit there and wonder and ponder about it. Although sometimes I do sit there and wonder and ponder about it. But you know, after a few moments of meditating on these areas of increase and in other areas, very simply, right when I got quiet, a certain scripture came to my heart. And when I thought about that scripture, you know, it put all of those different areas I was contemplating on. It put all of them into perspective. Don't worry, I will tell you what that scripture is sooner or later. But you know, I started reading different scriptures that dealt in the area of increase. And I can't tell you how many scriptures there are. You know, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. Brother Mark Hankins has a book that he put together, and it's just with different areas. It's got all the scriptures in there, and it's, you know, about this big, spiral binded, black, and you might find it in a bookstore. And if we don't have it here, then, you know, if enough people ask, we'll get it here. But, you know, I could do like Pastor Craig. Pastor Craig says, with God and Google, you can pretty much know anything. So I went to Google, and I just said, scriptures on increase. Oh, my. Honestly, it took me about 2 days to go through them, because I was going through them, and I'm highlighting some of the ones that's really jumping out at me, and I'm like, oh, goodness, I got to do something else. And I was doing something, and then I came back, and I got to it. There are a lot of scriptures dealing with the area of increase, but I'm only going to go over a few of them tonight. And, you know, again, the first thing about increase, you think about finances, money, and we just got through saying our offering confession, right? And, you know, part of that is actual scriptural. Honestly, all of it is, but, you know, it comes from Luke 6:38. And as we look up Luke 6:38, we're going to read that together. Well, I mean, I'm going to read it. You guys are going to follow along silently, however that works. But, and everything I'm going to go through, most of it's going to be in the New King James. But it says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. And actually, I don't know if Mrs. Hagen ever told you that or not, but she's the one who wrote that confession. And you know what? I just challenge you to get the offering confession and to just look it up, because every bit of it's scriptural. So just look up those scriptures. And if you're looking for increase in the area of finance, look up those scriptures. It's in the offering confession. Because each week when we're in here and we say the offering confession, you have the scripture not only in your head, but you have it in your heart. You meditate on it and you get it into your heart. So when we say our offering confession, you know what you're confessing. Amen? That's just not part of it, but we'll... Okay, let's... That was just a freebie. So Psalm 115, 14 through 15 is another scripture on increase that I was reading about. In Psalm 115, 14 and 15, we're going to go a little bit quick, jumping back and forth to some of these. So depending on your Bible quizzing skills and where the books are, you might want to grab your iPhone and just flip through it if you want to. But Psalms 115, 14 and 15, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. He's increasing us more and more. Not only you, but your children. Amen. Malachi 3:10. That's the last book of the Old Testament. But Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Amen? That's a good scripture to meditate on if you're believing in the area of finance. But don't forget, there's this one scripture that's going to put it all into perspective. How about the area of health? Exodus 23, that's the second book of the Old Testament. Exodus 23, verse 25. Exodus 23, verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you. Amen. We have an almighty God that'll take that sickness away. How about Isaiah 53? We can't talk about increase, we can't talk about health or healing without reading Isaiah 53, right? Verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Now, I do want to give an honorable mention to 1 Peter 2:24. That's the New Testament reference to Isaiah 53, and we're not going to go there. But suffice it to say that when Peter's referring back to it, we were healed, meaning it's past tense. It's already done. There's no discussion, no debate about it. We are healed. Amen? How about Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3? Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. You know, you think I would have kept all the Psalms together and all the other books together, right? It's a little bit chilly in here. Just warm you up going back and forth. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your disease. Amen. Hallelujah. How about the area of wisdom? I'll be honest with you. If we don't get through all this tonight, we will some other night. Normally, whenever I speak, I got 3 to 4 pages of notes. I got like 9 pages of notes. So if we don't get through it, I think I'm going to speak here in about the next month or so. So we'll knock out the second half of this because I don't want to keep us up here until the sun comes up, unless you want to. Okay, that's a joke. Ecclesiastes 2:26. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. James 1:5 talks about, if any of you lacks wisdom, we just got through mentioning this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Stay right there in James. I helped you out on this one. We're going to jump over to chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And this is the last Bible drill scripture that we're going to go to for a while, but we're going to go to Joshua 1:8. And in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. So like I said before, these are just a few scriptures on increase, but I just wanted to give you an idea that there's scriptures on increase in all areas of your life. And I've only picked 3 areas of finance and health and wisdom, but you know what? There's all areas of your life. You can find a scripture on increase. It says, I've spent a few days meditating on this, you know, just off and on again. I just thought, well, you know what? Am I just getting too far to one side of the road or not? Am I getting too far off track with this? Because again, I keep going back to the one scripture that put it into perspective. And I thought, you know what? I might be getting off. Let me give it a rest for a little bit. And I put it on the back shelf. And a few days later, Pastor's Friday email came out. So I went ahead and I read it. And as I was reading it, I mean, in fact, his opening scripture was the scripture, Joshua 1:8, that we just got through going over. How many of you get Pastor's Friday email? Okay, it's an email that comes out every Friday. How many, you know, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I don't want to embarrass you or anything like that. How many does not get Pastor's Friday email? If you do not get Pastor's Friday email, listen, I don't know why you don't get it, but I can only guess that we do not have your correct email address. What I encourage you to do, I mean, if somebody wants to get a piece of paper and write your name, phone number, and email on it, that'll work. But if you come and see me after service and say, Greg, I do not get Pastor's Friday email, give me your name, give me your phone number, and give me your correct email address, I will make sure the system is updated, and then every Friday, you'll get Pastor's Friday email. I'm telling you, these are some uplifting and encouraging messages. And it doesn't take you a whole day to read it. We're talking like one paragraph, okay? It's a scripture, it's a paragraph, it's encouraging, and I encourage you to let's make sure that you get the email. So anyway, the email opened up, and again, I'm sitting here, I'm wondering, am I barking up the wrong tree? Am I really getting a hold of this thing about increase? And lo and behold, he opened up with Joshua 1:8. And again, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I'm going to read you that paragraph that was in the email, okay? And what Pastor wrote here, he says, everyone wants to be prosperous and successful in life, yet many people are not receiving what they need, and they are not as successful as they want to be. Joshua 1:8 tells us how we can be prosperous and successful. It is so simple that anyone can do it. The key to our prosperity and success is meditating on the Word of God. Meditating involves both pondering with our minds and muttering or speaking the Word to ourselves. This verse tells us to meditate in the Word daily. We can't do this just every couple of days or weekly or monthly and expect to prosper and be successful. This is something we must do every day. As we meditate daily in the Word, it becomes more real to us than the things around us. Meditating in the Word will reveal new possibilities to us. It will bring new motivation and help us start acting according to the Word. Whenever I face a difficult situation, I immediately begin spending time meditating on the Word pertaining to that area. I do this as often as I need to until the Word becomes more real to me than the situation around me. Then I begin to act according to the Word. Soon I see the prosperity and success I need in that area. And then he goes on with the last paragraph, and he talks about the service times in Broken Arrow and here in Oklahoma City and encourages you to attend. But you know what? As I read that, the first thing that came to my mind is, my goodness, I'm right. Actually, it was the Holy Ghost that was right. I just followed along with what he said. But the second thing, I looked at Pastor with his age of experience and maturity. And he tells you he's been in this since, you know, he was born on a Sunday. He was in church the next Sunday, and he's been in church ever since. Amen. He's, my goodness, almost 60 years full-time ministry. You know, part of me thinks he's got the whole entire Bible memorized from Genesis to Revelation. And with all of that experience, he says, whenever I face a difficult situation, I immediately begin spending time meditating on the Word pertaining to that area. I do this as often as I need to, until the Word becomes more real to me. How much more real can the Word be to Pastor Hagen? Amen? But he does it. He gets in the Word and he meditates on it. Amen? So as I read this, that was the second thing I thought, okay, you know, who am I to be above getting into the Word and meditating on it? So I quickly realized I was not getting off track with my thinking, and I began to meditate on this subject again. And I began to meditate on a lot of these scriptures and then that one scripture. Amen? So I promised I'd tell you about the scripture. So let's go ahead and go to that scripture now. Amen? So we're going to go to John chapter 3. Some of you might know where I'm going. Let's hope I know where we're going. So John chapter 3. Now we're going to pick up right after Jesus and the disciples are with Nicodemus. Remember the Pharisee? He's talking to the Pharisee about, you know, in order to enter the kingdom, you got to be born again. And then, of course, Nicodemus, his brain goes in the vapor lock. He's but wait, what are you talking about? If you can't be born again, you can't enter the womb a second time. What are you talking about? And then as Jesus goes on and he teaches some more, you know, we get probably the most famous scripture in the entire Bible is John 3:16. And we can all say that together, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. So then they finish talking to Nicodemus, and I think everything is okay. And then Jesus and the disciples, they bolt out of town. They pack their suitcases, and they go about 50 miles along the Jordan River, and they get to a little area called Salim, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So they get to along the Jordan River in Salim, and this is where we pick up in verse 22. So John chapter 3, verse 22, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. Now in the Amplified, it talks about ceremonial cleansing or ceremonial washing. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Now John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from above. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent from him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the scripture that came to my heart. As I'm sitting here and I'm contemplating and I'm pondering on these great and wonderful things that I want, just very quietly I get, he must increase, I must decrease. Or I must increase and me must decrease. Amen? The Amplified Version says, he must increase in prominence, but I must decrease. The New Living Translation says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And I think out of all these, my favorite is the Message Bible. That's why my cup is running over. This is the assigned moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines. So, Greg, how is this going to help me out in increase? Amen? So I want to put it in a little bit better perspective, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it if due to time. But This passage of scripture takes place, give or take a year. Jesus is about 30. It's within the same year that John the Baptist baptized him just a few months earlier. It's during that time frame. Amen. And so we got John the Baptist over here on this part of the river baptizing people, and all of a sudden Jesus blows in the town and he's starting to baptize people, and all of John's disciples are upset. They're like, Rabbi, this dude, they didn't call him Jesus. They said the man who you were with. They didn't even call him by name. They said the man that you were with, he's over here baptizing people and everybody's going to him. You know, they were upset. Obviously, they were loyal to John. And they were trying to, I don't know if they were trying to get him fired up or anything, but you know, they're like, John, look, he's taking business from us, so to speak. What does he think he's doing? So John begins to educate him for a moment. And he uses the example about the bride and the bridegroom. But if you look at brides and bridegrooms and everything back then, the best man or the best friend of the bridegroom, he's responsible for most of the wedding, if not everything. I mean, if you would look at it today, they're going to put the wedding cake together. They're going to make sure that the invitations are prepared and mailed out. They're going to make sure everything is done. That's what the bridegroom's responsibility was. And probably what's considered the most important part of the bridegroom's responsibilities is after the wedding, at the proper time, he's guarding the bride's chamber, and he makes sure that nobody gets in there that ain't supposed to be in there. But when the bridegroom comes and announces himself, the best man recognizes his voice and allows them to pass. And then once the bridegroom goes into the bride chamber, the best man leaves. He disappears. He goes away because at that moment, his task is done. His final task is done. And ultimately what his task is throughout the whole planning of the wedding and the wedding itself and this final moment, he's supposed to make sure that the bride and the bridegroom get together. Amen. So what John was saying is he knew that his disciples are going to understand this analogy that when he uses in Scripture. Because what John the Baptist's task was to get the bride, Israel, prepared and together with the bridegroom, which is Jesus. And John realized, he recognized, because he knew who Jesus was, he knew he was the Messiah, and he knew that it was time for Jesus to increase, and John's role in this whole thing, he was in the limelight. He was the one preparing everybody. He was the one preparing. It was time for him to back off and for Jesus to take the spotlight. Amen? So that's essentially what John was doing, is he was saying, listen, guys, don't you know this is it? This is what everything that's been told to us, this is it. This is about to happen. Don't worry about all of this. Focus on him. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus about everybody coming to us for baptism. Don't focus about we are it. We're the top dog on the porch. Focus on Jesus. We must decrease and he must increase, is what John was telling them. Amen. Wow, how far ahead did I get of myself? So let's very quickly, I'm going to go through some of these scriptures. You don't have to go to them, but let's just jump up to some of these scriptures that I talked about earlier. Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and all that. And it shall be given unto you. It's not like give and then you're going to go get it yourself. You give and it's coming back to you. It's going to be given unto you. Multiplied. Amen. Exponentially. Amen? So that increase is not coming from you as an individual. It's coming from above. It's coming from our Father. And if we go to Psalm 115, we talked about, you know, may the Lord give you increase. No one else is given increase but the Lord. In Malachi, bring your tithes to the storehouse. Yes, you're doing something. You're breathing, bringing your tithe to the storehouse, and then God even tests you. He says, you do this, and guess what? You're going to have so much, you don't know what to do with it, and God's the one that's going to give it. In the area of health, we talked about Exodus 23. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water and heal all your diseases. It's God is the one that's doing it. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your disease. He's the one that's forgiving. He is the one that is healing the disease. God is the one that gives wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, ask. He's going to give it to you. As you go through all of these scriptures, if you reread those, and you know what? I want to go out on a limb and say every single increased scripture in the Word If you look in there, you're going to find where God is the one giving back. Amen? Amen? Amen. So it's not like you're doing something on your own. God is the one. God is the one. God is the one giving the increase. Now let me see if I can go back down and find my place where I was. So I believe that if we want to increase and have greatness in all the different areas of our life, we must do what John did. We must decrease into greatness. We must be the one to descend. We must be the one to decrease into greatness. Because as we decrease and submit to God, he's going to be the one to bring that increase. And we can't just go halfway. We must give everything that we have. We can't just do it half-heartedly. We must allow Jesus to increase in our lives and put aside our own selfishness. And you know, this reminds me of a story. I don't know. I was probably 7th, 8th grade, something like that. And our youth group down there on the central east coast of Florida. You know, 15 of us plus luggage jumped into a 15-passenger van and drove from Central Florida up. It's the Chattooga River, but it's up around the corners of Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. And the idea was we was going to spend a week, and we were going to do some backpacking and hiking. And the first day that we got there was going to be our longest leg. It was like 8 miles, okay? Right now it's a big deal. 10 years ago when I was active duty, it wasn't a big deal. But yeah, now it's back to being a big deal, 8 miles. But anyway, we hiked 8 miles with our backpacks, food, everything. We were going to set up camp, and then the next morning break camp and go in another direction about 3 miles, set up camp, break camp the next morning, and go another 2 or 3 miles, and we're going to get to this whitewater rafting thing, and then we're going to do a whitewater rafting back down to where the parking lot where we parked our van. It's just like a circle sort of thing. So anyway, that first time, that 8 miles that we hiked, we got there and everybody was hot, sweaty. I mean, we're talking midsummer, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, with humidity and everything. And, you know, we're all there and, you know, we got our hiking boots or hiking shoes on and our thick cotton socks. And we get there and everybody's dogs are toasting. All right, that's a saying for your feet was hurting, okay? So our dogs was toasting. And a lot of people was like, oh, because our campsite was on a beautiful riverbed. I mean, the bank of a river. And in that part of the country, the water is clear. And, you know, you got your river rocks out there. And some of it was a couple of foot deep and some was a foot deep. And it was a wide river, beautiful, clear mountain water flowing. And a lot of people, they took their boots off and they took their shoes off and they went over and they stood inside the water. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that too. And I went over and I stood inside the water after I took my boots off. I'm like, this ain't good enough. And I went to my backpack and I pulled out my bathing suit and I went behind some bushes and I changed and I come out in my bathing suit and I jumped into the deepest part of the river and I just laid there. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And it was. I could have been standing up there and just my feet were getting cooled and feeling better. But you know what? The rest of my body was a little sore because I was moving some joints and muscles that I haven't moved. And I used them in a different way. I mean, I played basketball, but I used my muscles in a different way. And it was nice and relaxing to just sit there. See, you just can't get partially into this, folks. We got to jump in with everything that we got. Because if you just jump in partially, your feet's the only thing that's going to get better. But if you jump in it with everything that you got, all areas are going to get increased. Amen? Hallelujah. So if we are his disciples, we should consider what happened in Matthew chapter 4. So we're jumping in with everything we got. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. I don't know if he saw two brothers and one was Simon. He said, I don't know why they had to specify that it really was his brother. But they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he, being Jesus, said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Who are you? What are we going to do? We're going to do what? Okay, now how are we going to pay for this? Why exactly do we want to do this? And why are we fishing for men to begin with? Amen? They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, I'm not saying that everyone here should quit their jobs, come out of retirement, and come behind the pulpit or start traveling around the world preaching. I mean, if that's the call that God has on your life, hallelujah. Jump in, not just with your feet. Jump in with your whole body and do it immediately. When I say immediately, it's in God's timing. But I'm not saying everybody should do that. I mean, if what you are doing right now is the call that God has on your life, then hallelujah, do that. But be ready. Like the Minutemen of the American Revolution, be ready, because when God asks you to do something, when you get that little prompting by the Holy Spirit inside to do something, jump in with everything that you got and do it immediately. You got to be ready. Just do it and give him the glory. But what do you got to be ready for? First, God's going to start using you. You ask to be used, he's going to use you. And when he uses you and you're obedient and you jump in with everything you got and you do it immediately, he's going to ask you again. And the more and more, you see this circle, the more and more you do it, the more and more he's going to ask you, because he can count on you. You're showing yourself faithful. Second thing you need to get ready for is the devil's going to start throwing more challenges your way. Once you start becoming a threat to his agenda, he's going to start throwing more challenges your way. Now, I'm not saying that for you to back off, or maybe only go in with your feet a little bit, or cause hesitation for you to say, oh, I don't know if I want to do that because, oh, the last time I did that, oh my goodness, you should have saw what happened. Now, you don't need to be fearful. He's under your feet, right? Just go to Revelation. I think it's chapter 20. Just go to Revelation and start reading that out to him and remind him of what his future is. Remind him of what Jesus did. Remind him that he's a defeated enemy. Amen? But the more temptations that's coming your way, you'll have a greater joy when you resist those temptations. When you have that thought of, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. You know what? Praise God. I'm doing it anyway because God is my source. God is my provider. God is the one that I'm going to get increase from. I don't need or want anything from Satan. You're going to get more joy out of it. Amen? Okay, we're going to go ahead and finish tonight. Hallelujah. Let's do this. So as Jesus increases in our lives, the way we experience our lives change. You know, the more you're obedient to him, the more he increases in your life is changing. Amen? So let's just talk about finances, because hallelujah, everybody could use it. Okay, you're living the way that you're living. You start getting an extra $20,000, $30,000 a year, you think your lifestyle is going to change? It's going to change. Hallelujah. And then when that lifestyle changes and you get another $20,000, $30,000 a year, you think your lifestyle is going to change again? Hallelujah, it's going to change again. So the more God increases in your life, your lifestyle is going to change. But you know, the areas that's probably going to increase first are areas that you're not thinking about. We're thinking about finances. We're thinking about, now yes, you can ask for healing. Healing is free. Amen. Healing is free. You don't have to do anything but say, God, thank you for the healing because of the blood of Jesus. I receive the healing in my body. That's all you have to do. I receive the healing in my body. And then continue to thank him. Amen. But you know, as you continue to submit yourself to God and he increases things in your life, okay, you're still going to get the healing in your body, but the finances and all the other areas. But you know what? You're also going to get increased in the areas of peace, joy, love, you know, those things too. The fruit of the Spirit, you're going to get increase in those areas as well. The way that others see us live our lives is going to change in their perspective. Amen. How about that coworker? Oh, you're just one of them Bible thumping hypocritical Christians. I don't have to listen to a word you say. All you do, you come in and you talk about God this and God that. I don't have to. You're just hypocrites. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want any part of that. I tried to be a Christian once before, but I don't want anything to do with it. But you know what? The way your life changes towards people, the way you start showing love to people, caring for people, you go to that coworker and instead of saying, you know what, you know, if you just submit yourself to God, things are going to be easier around here. I know it's tough. But you know, if it's like, you know what, I know you're struggling with that report this week. Is there anything I can do to help you? I got some extra time on my hands. And then create some extra time on your hands so you can help them, amen? But you know what? You help them do that report. You don't have to mention God. And when something bad happens at work, don't lose joy over it. Because when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send another one. It's going to be your comforter. Let the Holy Spirit be your comforter, amen? And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I just encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you can pray in the Spirit on a regular basis every day. Stay full. That's a whole new different topic. But it's the way that you treat people. And as we go, and as we go through our trials and tribulations, we continue to live a satisfied life. We will experience greater peace, greater joy, greater love, and greater grace. And then our finances, our health, our wisdom, and whatever else we need or want will increase. People will be able to see that. They're going to see the greatness. They're going to see the greatness of God living inside of you. And there's going to be a point in your time, and I know I've used this example before, just like my neighbor three or four streets down. I was just prompted to go by and talk with him, but I've talked with him several other times, and he has a very negative attitude towards, well, everything. But I just kept showing him love. And every time he talked negative about the elections, and I lived in a house for 9 years now. Okay, and the situation I'm talking about happened about 3 years ago. So for that first six or so years I lived in a house, everything was negative about the elections, about the politics, about how veterans are treated, because he's a veteran. I mean, it's just negative about everything. And I just kept loving on him. Every now and then I was prompted to slip in something, but you know what? One day he says, I've heard a lot about this Holy Ghost. What is it? Hallelujah. He learned. He got filled, speaking in tongues, right there in his driveway, the neighbor mowing the grass, looking like, what's going on with those guys over there? We'll get the neighbor across the street filled soon. See, Jesus has already done everything for us. So we're talking about increase. And I knew I threw a whole lot at you. We went through a bunch of scriptures. And if you didn't quite get those scriptures wrote down, you can ask me later. But you know what? Again, just go to Google and type in scriptures on increase, scriptures on health, scriptures on healing, scriptures on joy, scriptures on peace. You'll get a lot of them. Okay? And then you can, you know, print them off, copy them, read them for yourself daily. But how are we going to put this all together? Amen. Okay, you give me a lot of pieces to the puzzle here. Once I get this puzzle put together, I want to put that clear coat of glue over the top so it don't come apart. I got three things for you, and then I'll go ahead and close after this. Now, I'm not going to go out and say these are keys to whatever. This is what you have to do if you do this. Because you know what? As you read and as you study, the Holy Ghost may, you know, reveal other things to you. But just as I was going through this and meditating on this, there was three things that I figured if I continue to do. Now, everything I talked about tonight is about myself. Because this is an example of what happened to me over the last couple of months. It's probably happening to you too. I don't know. But here we go. The first thing is read the word daily. Read the word daily. Like Pastor says in his email, not weekly, not monthly, not once a year. Daily. Okay? That doesn't mean come to the Christmas carols and candlelight communion service and when Mrs. Hagen is reading the Christmas story, you're following along in your Bible, and then you're reading out loud too. So that doesn't count as reading. Well, it does, but read the word daily. Use daily confessions. You can get one of those, the one-year reading plans. Google one-year reading, Bible one-year reading plans and print that off. And essentially what you're doing, if you've never done that before, you're reading an Old Testament scripture, a New Testament scripture, a Psalm, and a Proverbs. Okay? Start out doing that. Whatever you need to do. I don't care if you grab the Bible, you open it up, and you want to start reading. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you. If you grab the Bible, you open it up like that and you start reading. It's not Bible roulette where it's like, oh my gosh, that scripture, that's it. That's, you don't make a practice of doing that. But I mean, if that's what you got to do, you know, if you just want to say, okay, I'm going to focus on the book of Matthew. And then you grab Matthew and just start reading it. I want to focus on the book of John. And then you just start reading John. Whatever you need to do, start reading the word daily. So we're reading the word daily. The second thing is meditate on the word daily. So you already got your reading it. Meditate on it. Say it out loud to yourself. Read the verses over and over, accenting different words. I mean, just for instance, the Matthew 4:18 we just read, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers. Or you can say, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers. Because as you accent different words, oddly enough, oh, wow, I never saw it in that way before. Okay? Think about the scriptures throughout the day. You're at work, you're driving, you just think about the scripture. So we're reading the word daily, we're meditating on the word daily, and fellowship with God and pray in the Spirit daily. How do you do that? Just talk to him. I have a little inside joke that, you know, sometimes if somebody says, well, hey, can you pray at this or can you do this? I'll say, yeah, I'll just do prayer number 39. Again, I was in junior high at a Baptist church down in Florida, and we had our monthly family fellowship or quarterly or whatever it was. All I know is we're going to eat food after church and back in the fellowship hall. And one of the deacons came up to me. He goes, hey, young man, why don't you go ahead and do the prayer and bless the food? I'm like, what? What do I pray? What do I do? He goes, just say prayer number 39. And I'm like, prayer number 39? I should know. What is prayer number 39? There is no prayer number 39. He was just messing with me. And then I went over to one of the other deacons of the church. I'm like, what's prayer 39? Is it written down somewhere? You know, I'm grabbing the hymnal, and at the back of the hymnal, I'm looking, you know, at the little, what are them things? I've been out of the Baptist church for so long, but the confessions or whatever. I'm like, what is it I'm supposed to? And they just started laughing. They says, there's no prayer number 39. Just say, Father, bless the food. Amen. You know? So anyway, I say that, you know, what do you say? Just pray in English and say, Father God, I love you. I praise you. He's living inside of us. Just speak it out. If you don't know what to say in Romans, it talks about if you don't know what to say in English, pray in the Spirit. And, you know, you pray in the Spirit long enough, English words are going to start coming out. Say them. Pray them. Tell God what's going on in your life. Say, God, you know I got this problem at work. I got this going on here. My kids have got this going on in school. I got this going on here. You know how much this means to me. First, and just speak it out. Talk with him and say, Father, I don't know what to say. And then start praying in the Spirit. Just spend time worshiping and praising God. I do that quite often. I'll walk around in the living room of my house, or I'll be out doing something, and songs jump into my head. I don't know if I could really sing or not. I just know that songs jump in my head, and why these songs jump into my head, I don't know, but I just start singing them. And you know what? I don't know all the words. I don't know the words in the right place unless they're up here or unless somebody's leading it. But you know what? God don't care if I know the words. He wants to hear me sing and praise him and give glory to him. And that's all he wants you to do, because you're his children and he loves you and he wants to increase your life. But you know what? If you're a father or a mother, grandfather, grandmother, I'm not going to go any further. But you got kids. You love your kids. You love your kids dearly. You love your grandkids dearly. And if they want money, you're going to give them money if you got it. You're going to hand it to them. You're going to give it to them. And you try not to play favorites. I know you don't like to play favorites. But when you got that one kid that works you, and he's like, oh, Mom, Dad, I love you so much. And just every day, he's giving you that hug. He runs in there and jumps in your bed and says, oh, I love you so much. And then later when they need something, are you more than likely to just boost it up from like a 10 to a 20 or something like that than you are with the other one that's always throwing toys around and complaining? No, I know we don't like to play favorites, and I don't believe God really plays favorites, but you know what? The more we love him and praise him and honor him and worship him, we're just opening up those floodgates for him to return it. We call that increase. Amen. So if you do these three things every day, you're going to get increase in your life. I can't guarantee the rate that it's going to come back to you, but you're going to get increase in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and bow your heads. If you're in here tonight and you heard what was said and you want to increase, but you know you can't get the increase because you don't have that relationship with God. And you can't have that relationship with God because you haven't been born again. Just like Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and saying, you got to be born again. It's like, what? I haven't been born again. I haven't received him into my life. I haven't asked him to forgive me of my sins. If that's you tonight, but you want to do that, you know you need to do that. You know that the Holy Spirit's been tugging on you. All I'm going to ask you to do right now is just simply raise your hand. Just simply raise your hand and just say, you know what, God? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the old way. I know that there's something better. There's something newer for me. I got to have it. I want it. If that's you, just simply raise your hand. Just simply raise your hand. No one's looking around. You know what? Maybe you've done that. Maybe you were younger. Maybe you got hauled up to the altar by a brother or sister and you really didn't know what you're going up for. Maybe you are born again, but you know what? You've just sort of slipped away a little bit. You haven't really been living a life the way that you know that you should be living. And I'm not saying that from any point of view of condemnation, because I'm not condemning you for that. All I'm saying is if you've fallen away and you haven't been living a life for God, But you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm tired of it. I want forgiveness for everything that I've done wrong. You know what? We're sinners. We sin every day. But all you have to do is just raise your hand and say, you know what? I want that forgiveness. I want to come back. I want to start living a life for God. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? Let's just say you're born again. Let's just say you've been living a life for God. Everything's okay. You know, maybe you need to increase your reading the word, or maybe you need to increase your meditating a little bit. And maybe you need to start praying and talking to God every day, but you can't pray to him in the spirit because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you can have that heavenly language, so you can pray. When you don't know what to say in English, you know that you can pray in the Spirit. If you want to receive that today, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. I know there's somebody in there for one of the three. Just everybody just go ahead and stand. You know, let's just praise God and just honor God. But you know, if you wanted to raise your hand for one of those three invitations, if you wanted to raise your hand, if you felt the Holy Spirit moving and tugging on your heart and you wanted to raise your hand, you wanted to identify yourself for one of those three, to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, or to rededicate yourself, or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to step out and walk up here right now. Come on, everybody's in the room's already done that. Most of us have already done that. Just go ahead and step up here and say, you know what, it's time. I'm done with this. I'm tired of living the life that I want to live. Hallelujah. Here, just everybody repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that he walked this earth as a man. I thank you that he took that beating for my health, my healing. I thank you that he took on my sins and he died on a cross for me. I thank you that he descended into the pits of hell. He defeated the enemy. And now he has risen and he sits by your right hand today. Father, I ask for your forgiveness of my sins. I repent of the direction in my sins that I was going. I ask Jesus to come into my life, to live with inside of me, and be the Lord of my life. It's been some time since I've said that. And I know the only time I had to say it was just once. But Father, I rededicate my life to you tonight. I want to start living a life for you. I ask that you show me how. I ask that you guide my steps. I ask that you put people in my path, godly people that will help lead and guide me, that will give me that godly wisdom and guidance. I thank you I give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen, if that was the first time you prayed that prayer, or if it's been a long time that you've prayed that, I believe that you got exactly what you asked for. And you know, if you were embarrassed to come up here, just find somebody afterwards and just one-on-one, just look them in the eye and tell them, I did it. I received Jesus, or I rededicated my life. You know, when you look at an old movie, the Christmas Story movie with Jimmy Stewart in it, I know they say that every time an angel receives his wings, a bell rings. Or every time a bell rings, that's because an angel received their ring. That's not biblical. That's not in the Bible. But you know what is in the Bible is in Luke 15. In Luke 15, it says, when a sinner repents and gives their life, all the angels in heaven rejoice. And right now, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing because of the decision that you made tonight. And the rest of us rejoice with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Pam's got a prayer cloth here, and before we go, we're going to pray over the prayer cloth.
This is my only sibling, my brother. Mm-hmm. And he's laying in the hospital. And I have no idea how long he's passing out. I'm not knowing where he's younger than me.
Okay.
His name is Bo.
Okay. Her younger brother, Bo, is in the hospital, and they don't know what's wrong with him, passing out and all that stuff. But you know what? It doesn't matter that they don't know what's going on. What matters is the healing power of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, in Acts 19, the word talks about where they took cloths and handkerchiefs and they laid it onto the sick and they were healed and it cured their infirmities. Amen. And in the scriptures, they talk about the woman with the issue of blood, that how all she had to do is just reach out and touch the hem of Jesus's garment. And that one of the versions says that virtue flew out of him, that power, that healing power flew out into her and instantly cured her, healed her. So there's at least two scriptures. And if you don't know anything about the prayer clause, what we do at the prayer clause is, the Holy Spirit shared with Pastor Hagen a few years ago about those scriptures and says, start doing these prayer cloths. And what happens is we pray over them and the healing power flows into the cloth. And when you, the relatives, the friends, take these or send these back out to people, that healing power will flow out and into them and cause their body to become whole and healthy and healed. Amen. And I'm going to share a personal testimony with this. I know we're running late, but you know what? Somebody can use it. My brother, 5 years older, a few years ago, he was diagnosed with a tumor in his brain about the size of a golf ball. And they gave him 6 months to live. I knew he was born again. And I knew he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I got bold with him. And I talked to him on the phone and I educated him. And I told him, I'm going to get this prayer cloth and I'm going to send it to you. And you carry this with you everywhere you go. Amen. And I basically told him just what I told you. And I shared a few more scriptures and talked to him a little bit more about healing. And you know, he was going through a culinary school. So he would get the prayer cloth and stick it up on top of his head and put his little chef hat on top of that. And he did that for a few months, 6 months to live, they said. Over the course of that 6 months to a year, when he would go back for more testing, that golf ball sized tumor kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And the doctor said, we don't know what's going on, but this thing is going away. Well, everybody he was going through culinary school with wanted prayer cloths for different things that they had. Amen? So listen, just reach your hands out, and we're going to pray over this. Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for that healing power. Even though the doctors do not know what's going on with Bo, Father, we know that whatever it is not below the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above this, Father. And we pray that that healing power flow into this cloth, that when Pam gives this to Bo and sends it to Bo, Father, as soon as he receives it, that same healing power, that same power that's alive and well in us flows inside of him and causes his body to line up with your word, and it becomes healthy and whole and healed, Father. We thank you for this now. We give you praise and we give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, well, listen. Okay, yes. Come on. Come on, John.
My wife's brother has cancer in both lungs.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to pray for him, too.
Okay, you want a prayer cloth?
Yeah.
Okay. Grab a prayer cloth. Is there anybody that wants to come up here for healing, or if they're standing in, or they need a prayer cloth for another relative? Yes, sir. For you or for someone else? Okay. Cancer. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray over these three prayer cloths. Father God, likewise, we continue to thank you for that healing power as it flows into these cloths, Father. Father, cancer has a name, and your word says that Jesus above anything that is named, Father. And we thank you for that healing power flowing into these cloths, that when these cloths are given to them, that cancer will dry up. It'll go away. Every cancer cell must die. Every cancer cell must go away in all three of these people, Father. We thank you for that healing power. We give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You know, the word says that we should pray one for another. Amen. And we have a brother up here that has a need. And what I want everybody to do is just go gather around him, lay your hands on him. Now, don't choke him out where he can't breathe. But listen, just lay your hands on him and let's lift him up and let's pray for him. What is your name, brother? John. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up John. Hallelujah. Father, you know the situation that he's in right now, Father. And we just got through talking about increase, Father. And right now I pray that in the area of finances, you give him the favor. You give him grace, Father, in the area of increase that increases his finances to help him pay for the medical bills that he needs help with, Father. Father, we just thank you for that. We give you the honor and we give you glory for it. Father, also in the name of Jesus, we speak health and healing into his body so that there becomes a point where he does not have to rely upon medicine to live a healthy and an abundant life, Father. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He had a tumor that was cancerous and he has no more cancer, no more tumor. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Listen, that's it for tonight, folks. We appreciate you guys coming in. And next week, Pastor Craig should be back. Just a couple of things not to forget. Please don't forget to come up here and sign up for this coming Saturday for the spring clean. And also, Mrs. Hagen's birthday card. Don't forget to come up and sign for her birthday card. Amen? Hallelujah. You guys have a great and awesome week, and we will see you next Sunday night.